Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Ian Gilbert, who is the Chief Revenue Officer for Agreement Express. Ian, thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure. Good morning.
Hello. So just to provide a little context for those listening, Agreement Express is a SaaS-based customer onboarding platform that provides traditional financial services companies a better and more efficient way to onboard their customers. And we're going to talk a little bit today about the importance of technology partnerships for banks that are interested in accelerating their own path to innovation. But I thought I'd start with reprising the panel that you were part of at Innovation Project a couple of weeks ago, where a variety of players kind of took this debate on, and there were some interesting perspectives shared about why banks are or are not innovating today. And Ian, I'd love your perspective on the takeaway from the hour that you spent debating that a couple of weeks ago.
Well, it was an interesting conversation, wasn't it? And clearly the sort of specter of regulation is writ large for a lot of the traditional players. They're immensely concerned about what that might mean for them and what it doesn't mean for some of the new entrants. But, you know, what became clear to me as we talked with people from Square and others on that panel was the extent to which innovation as an end in itself is really not the point here. And I think there were moments in the conversation where the desire of the traditional players was to discuss innovation as the end, and we were worrying about what the means to innovation was or were. And of course, innovation is the method by which you become more customer-centric. And where we ended up in that dialogue, I thought, was a very useful place where we were starting to talk about what customers want and what customers mm-hmm. need, which gives us the route map and the end game as it pertains to innovation. And I think that's what made the dialogue most interesting, don't you?
I agree. And so from your perspective, because I know you talk to and have as clients these financial institutions who are really, I think, earnestly trying to become more customer-centric and looking for solutions to help them become that. Where are you seeing the greatest need?
Well, in fact, one of the panelists at the event, Mehmet Selgin from BBVA, said very explicitly on the panel that digital onboarding, in his opinion, was one of the most important issues for traditional financial institutions to solve. I was at a wry smile on my face when he said it. That was my line. And very often then we're called in to meet with our clients and prospective clients simply because they've recognized that that experience of onboarding clients, customers, merchants, and other partners is such a key part of their value proposition. Very often the view of what onboarding is somewhat limited. They think it's about application as opposed to the full experience a customer could have, but we deal with that. What we experience as we engage, though, is much more of a cultural need, much more of a desire to learn how to innovate while doing so on a process that's fairly obvious and requires help quite immediately. So very often we find ourselves dealing much more with the cultural aspect of innovation, helping to work with disparate teams and disparate individual contributors within the institutions we partner with in order to help them learn how to work together and learn how to innovate, just as much as we spend looking at systems and technologies and the integration needed to digitize the onboarding process.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, it's about managing risk at the same time you're bringing new customers into the fold. And so as the regulatory environment creates more complexity, I guess what we're seeing reflected in the onboarding process is more complexity as a result. Where are you helping financial institutions streamline and simplify onboarding without the downside of missing something that could become vitally important later?
Well, you're right. It's a very complex process, particularly for more complicated merchant acquisition and high net worth individual onboarding. It's also a process that is highly exposed to the requirements for compliance, highly exposed to formal and informal risk. But at the same time, onboarding a client is all part of that initial experience that an individual organization have of an institution. So there's an element of onboarding that's about marketing, that's about engagement, that's about a user experience. So the dichotomy we're helping institutions manage is that idea of trying to make a process as appealing and as engaging as possible, so that they don't lose customers early in the process, so that it's simple and reflective of the brand they hope to signal to their clients, while also making sure that it manages all of the data management requirements, the workflow that's needed to comprehensively onboard a customer into their institution, and also so that they manage both risk and the need to be compliant through the process and ensure that they've got data captured in the right way. It's a tough one to get right because you're trying so hard to really give customers a rich experience. The temptation is to try and compromise in some of those areas of formal compliance, but you can't. So we spend a lot of time working with our clients, helping them solve that particular set of problems.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned Square was on the panel, and of course, Square's innovation many years ago was to simplify the onboarding process. I mean, it was really the business model innovation, much more so than the piece of hardware that plugged into the phone, that let their business become the business that it is today. And the traditional banks looked at that and said, wow, that's just way too much risk. We could never do that because we could never onboard a client that small, that efficiently. And so I think often sometimes banks will dismiss that as, well, we don't really want to do that anyway. How do you get financial institutions over that, well, we really don't want to do that anyway because that may not be a market or a segment or a type of client that we want to bring on board, when in fact, if it were an efficient way of doing it, perhaps they'd be able to serve a different customer set and not expose themselves to the risk in the process?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, on the panel you referred to, I think we even agreed as a group that there were certain customers that most of the organizations there didn't want to actually acquire, and there was a good reason for not putting them through their process. At the same time, there are a whole swathe of customers that are very attractive, and also the expectations of existing customers, large merchants, large organizations, they're beginning to shift as well. There's a lot to be learned from Square. There's a lot to be avoided from the business model that they've adopted, and a lot that couldn't be replicated. But there's a lot to be learned in terms of that customer centricity of the process and the efficiency and elegance that they've introduced into their onboarding approach and their overall approach to customers in general. It can be achieved. I mean, a lot of this is about workflow efficiency. It's about simplicity of automation and data pulls from the systems that the institutions we deal with have to interact with. And, you know, I'm reminded of one of our clients, Global Payments, very well-known and traditional, well-established merchant acquirer, who, as we've worked with them, have begun to see the process that they previously had for, you know, even just getting out initial merchant contracts and getting those back, which used to be a 2 to 3 week process. And now they're down to minutes live on the phone with a merchant. So there's efficiency to be driven. I don't think it's fair to say that traditional institutions can simply replicate what a Square can do, but they can find their own route through it, reflect their own specific brand and their own promise to their customers, and create an efficiency level and elegance to their process that allows customers to engage, that keeps the abandonment rate low, keeps the engagement rate high, and allows for customers to feel satisfied through that entire process of onboarding to the company.
Ian, are you suggesting that this is really a mindset shift that needs to happen in these organizations? The technology is there, but the way of thinking is what really needs to change?
I think it would be trite to say that it's just that, but equally it's pretty trite to think that regulation stops them doing it, for example. So there is a significant mindset change required, particularly as it pertains to their ability to innovate. The ability to innovate is nothing much more complicated than the desire to focus on a customer's full experience of you and your organization. And I think banks, traditional payment companies, and other sorts of traditional institutions are really well equipped to innovate in that context. But they need to stop thinking about, you know, what needs to change from the status quo in order to be able to achieve it, and think more about how they can leverage the assets they have. We've got fantastic embedded relationships with customers in many cases. In the case of banks, they engage with merchants and other organizations incredibly early in their lifespan and could take advantage of that. There's a number of opportunities they've got to really use what they have, create a rich experience around it, and think first about that full customer experience and build an innovative environment around
it. How do you get them to do that?
that's a rather more complex question. There's a culture shift required. There's an understanding of enablement internally that's required. A couple of things that aren't going to work, and that's the creation of specific or bespoke innovation projects. I think those can have a short-term effect, but they don't create the kind of organizational change that's necessary overall. There's a level of insight from the top of the business down that's necessary to help employees feel empowered to come up with creative new solutions. These things sound very generic, but when you're talking culture change, it is deep and embedded into the organization to be able to create that change. So, you know, there's an attitude shift needed. There's training and help needed to assist frontline employees and banks and other institutions to understand how to think about customer experience. And I would say one of the pieces of evidence that I observed at the event in Boston a couple of weeks ago is I think there's an opportunity for far more real collaboration, not just between traditional businesses and fintech startups and other startups, but also collaboration with potential customers and the very organizations that the banks and other institutions are trying to serve. We had a small number of merchants in the case of the event in Boston who spent time with us and were pretty informative, I thought, on the sort of things they're doing, the things they're looking for, but there weren't enough of them. It wasn't collaborative enough, and I'm looking forward to institutions, banks, and other traditional businesses spending much more time thinking collaboratively with those customers.
So, Ian, you're obviously working with a lot of these financial institutions already to get them thinking in a more customer-centric fashion, but what's on your roadmap? What other things are you providing your customers and prospects to give them even more of an opportunity to think more customer-centric?
Yeah, so a lot of our clients started working with us with a desire to simply automate the process they had already. The good news is they're already becoming more customer-centric in their thinking, and now they want control over that. They want flexibility over that. So we're doing a couple of things. One, we're making it much, much easier for our clients to access and leverage secondary data sources from within the software. If you think about things like address authentication, identity authentication, or credit checking, those kind of things, we'll now allow our clients to turn those services on and off from within our software platform. So they've got complete control to create a custom onboarding experience that still fulfills the compliance and data requirements they have. We're then adding on extensions that allow them to build incremental parts to their process and create more flexibility, whether that's through visual workflows that give them real-time control of the way customers onboard and move through their process, or whether it's risk assessments and scorecarding so that they can really build a full end-to-end process that, in essence, automates those things that they have to do with whole departments of people right now. And then finally, we're just creating that level of scalability across departments, allowing them to use our software for more than just the onboarding of customers so that they can begin to sort of ubiquitously think about the way that they onboard and engage customers and other communities of interest and really put that customer-centric thinking to work.
So you're giving them basically access to a platform that they can take as much as they want when they want it.
I think, look, they have a very distinct practical challenge in efficiently onboarding clients and merchants into the various solution areas that they work in. But at the same time, our platform is enabling them to think way more creatively about the experience they can give customers. So take the thinking they've got internally and translate it into technology in a way that customers really value.
So when they're ready, you're there.
Absolutely.
Well, Ian, thanks so much. It's been great to get a better understanding not only of how you're helping financial institutions become more customer-centric, but the debate about innovation in financial services with respect to financial institutions more broadly. It was a fascinating conversation. Thanks for your insights.
My pleasure. Thank you.